Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara. I am into teaching since last 6 years and prior to that 6 to 7 years I was into industry. So today we are here to discuss what are the different aspects or maybe the important aspects which directly or indirectly creates a good or a bad industrial relation. And already we have discussed about why industrial relation or maintaining good industrial relation is not only important for an organization or an industry but as a society, or say it also contributes to the economic growth of a nation. So what are the important aspects that have to be focused on improvement? So some of them are already discussed earlier. But today we discuss about only those core aspects which are directly going to affect this industrial relation in any industry or organization. So one of the two important aspects of industrial relations seen in a modern society is cooperation. So what do you mean by cooperation over here? Cooperation is a mutual or a voluntary agreement which is not, you know, forced or enforced by any powerful dominant position. But here voluntarily we are into agreement of any decision taken by the management, and management in turn, you know, also takes the decision which is favoring the benefit of employee. So when we talk about cooperation, in simple words, it is a mutual or a voluntary agreement. Now cooperation between whom we are talking? We are talking cooperation between employer and employee, organizations and trade unions. Cooperation, the cooperation between labor and management is one of the basic requirements for the smooth functioning of modern industries and growth of industrialization. So we have studied various aspects, you know, which indirectly contributes, but when we talk about cooperation, it directly leads into a smooth and very good industrial relation without any conflicts. The present chapter discusses the principles of cooperation. That means we have spoken that cooperation is definitely important, but how it can be implemented and why it is so important. The cooperation between labor and capital is the basic requirement for successful functioning of modern capitalist enterprises. Because when we talk about say social enterprises, here there are less chances of frictions. Okay, but when we talk about capitalist, employer has to design policies, wage structure according to the requirement, capabilities and skills of the employee. However, this cooperation is available only at a minimum degree. So now when we talk about cooperation, we discuss certain techniques through which we can build up a cooperative relationship between employer and employee. But then after all, employer as well as employee both are human beings carrying different perspectives in their mind. There are very less chances that there may not be any friction or conflict when it comes to taking any decision. But then we can avoid these conflicts and frictions through implementing some cooperative measures. Neil W. Camerlin calls this sort of relationship as conjunction. That is a sort of relationship under which the parties, instead of offering their best, offer the least, in the absence of which relationship will break. Now here the concept designed says that generally we try to give our best, but when it comes to a relationship which is between employer and employee, both are trying to gain more and give less, as the employer will always look, you know, for an employee who can work for more number of hours at a less salary package, and he would always look forward that where he can save money. He thinks that employee is a cost center. He does not consider employee as an asset. So whenever employee, you know, want to incur some investment, he don't think investing in a human resource. They don't mind investing in technology, but when it comes to human resource, it becomes very difficult that the salary package, more number of hours, because it is not a direct relationship. Here a human being will be able to work for, say, certain minimum number or maximum number of hours according to its physical and mental capacity. So here we cannot expect an employee to work like a machine. An employer on his side will try to save money by offering less packages. And at the same time, if we see employee's psychology, his psychology is to get more wages. But then the number of hours, working hours will remain same. And say number of leaves that should be given to an employee, he wants more number of leaves. So here both the parties somewhere are not actually ready to give a fair or a reasonable return. And this is a matter of conflict or a friction between employer and employee. In other words, the workers attempt to produce only that much which can keep them in the employment. That means the workers are ready to give that much which keep the position occupied and their employment is not at a risk. Hence, special efforts have to be made to induce them to put forth their best efforts for productive purposes. Now here, if we want that employees should give their best, somewhere the employer has to be ready, to give best to their employees. Only then this mutual understanding will exist and this industrial relation will go smooth without any frictions and conflicts. In case of self-employment, under which a person owns the tools, premises, raw materials and final products, he works as his best. Now here we are talking about self-employment. That means I am working for myself. Nobody is employing me to work for them. That means whatever capital invested is mine, whatever tools, equipments, assets, it belongs to me. And whatever raw material I have purchased it from my pocket. And whatever profits I will get out of it, again it will go to my pocket. So I am very much keen on earning more profit. And so I will take care of my assets, raw materials. Then I will take care that there are less number of defects. Because here I have a sense of ownership. Ownership on assets, ownership on profit, ownership on taking decisions. When it say for example comes to buying of raw materials, I will take the decision from where and what quality of raw material I have to buy. So here there is a sense of ownership when it comes to self-employment, and that's why we are ready to give the best, because the best we give, the best we are going to receive. But it becomes a little different when it comes to industries, because in industries, the person investing is different, that is employer, businessman, and the person working is different, that is employee. Even if the means of production are obtained by him on hire, he exerts his best. However, the moment capital becomes separated, that means the investment that is done by employer and is treated as independent factor of production, the problem of motivating the worker becomes acute. Now here there are several factors of production among which labor is also considered as one among them. But when we different this labor factor of production different with other factors of production, motivating this labor to get best out of him becomes very difficult. So from this we can understand what is the difference between self-employment and organizations or industry. So in industry or organization, what do we do is we separate the labor from other factors of production. So the other factors of production somewhere belongs to the employer and labor is on one side. So other factors of production are being taken care of by the employer, but when it comes to say labor, what happens is he tries to, save money over there by giving less, as we have already discussed. So even the labor now feels separated from the other factors of production or organization or industry. So how do we create a feeling of ownership or say involvement in a labor? So we try to implement some techniques wherein there is a cooperation between employer and employee. Both think about each other for a common objective and personalization of goals. This question has led to formation and implementation of many schemes for promoting cooperation between labor and management in the advanced capitalist countries. So here the question comes that cooperation is definitely required between organizations and trade unions, but then how? What are the different schemes that can be implemented which will result into cooperation between management and the trade unions or employer and employee? So what exactly labor management cooperation refers to? It refers to the joint effort of labor and management to find out solutions and remedies of the problems common to both of them. Now here there are certain problems which may be a matter of concern for employee and employer as well. So in majority of the case, employer takes an advantage to take decision on this. But if we are looking forward to have a labor management cooperation, here we try to involve these employees also. Because this particular problem or say decision is going to affect not only employer organization but also employee or trade unions on a large. So cooperation implies a situation where workers' representatives are to some extent involved in the process of management decision making. Joint decision making in matters of admittedly common interest. Now see here there are two terms. One says that up to an extent, few of the representative of employees are involved in the decision making. What do you mean by up to an extent? They can definitely give their suggestions, their views related to that common objective or a common matter of concern for both the parties. But the ultimate decision maker will be employer. And the other says that joint decision making in matters of admittedly common interest. Now say for example determination of wages, which is going to affect a lot to both the parties, employer as well employee. But here the fixation of wages will be a common point or say a point of agreement of employer and employee. Together both will come to a decision. Here, employer is not enjoying that dominant position of taking the decision. In contrast to collective bargaining. Now, what is collective bargaining? It is a group of employees coming together and to put forward some demands that they have in front of the employer or organization. And say collective bargaining is considered to be a healthy way of demanding things from the employer or organization and get it done. But then if we have cooperation among employer and employee, we can take joint decision rather than going for collective bargaining, which involves joint decision making in the matters of admittedly divergent interest. Now divergent interest, what is divergent interest? That means this particular matter may be more concerned for employer but not that concerned for employee. And earlier what we spoke about was a joint interest. That means both will be equally affected with that. Divergent interests, cooperation represents joint decision making in the matters of admittedly common interest. So before such a cooperation can take place, each of the parties has to be convinced that in some defined areas or interests are in fact common, that by cooperating with the other in the decision making process in this area, each would be promoting its own interest, and by such cooperation it will not become a tool of the other. That means here when we are talking about cooperation, we are also looking forward at others' point of view. So cooperation won't be possible if both the parties, you know, will promote ideas which are in their own benefit. Now say for example, fixation of wages. Say for example, we had a huge strike for increase in wages. So now employees are saying that we want minimum of say 18,000 per month, which will be divided by 26 days, and whatever the amount comes to, that will be approximately say 692. So the union was demanding much more higher, and somewhere the settlement was done say around 350 rupees to 395 rupees per day. So here the union, though wants to cooperate, wants to form a cooperative relationship, but is there any, you know, scope of cooperation over here? No, because the demands that they have made are too high and the offers that are made are too low. So cooperation is not possible. So if we want to implement cooperative environment, then both the parties should not promote their personal interest. They should also try to understand others' point of view, that practically will that thing be possible or not. Labor management cooperation may take following forms. That means whenever we are say in a process of labor management cooperation, we may start with taking baby steps and we can move forward. So we can first start with information sharing. Now when I talk about information sharing, again it should be not a one-way process, communication process, but it should be rather a two-way communication process. For example, if there are any changes in the policies, the management will well in advance share this information, say the future projects, upcoming events. This information will be shared by the management to the employee, and when it comes from employee can share information regarding the workflow, regarding the process, or regarding the floor, or regarding any situation they are facing in their day-to-day task while performing the task. So from employee's point of view, they may give suggestions, or they may give some areas of improvement wherein the productivity may rise. The employer agrees and undertakes to keep the employees informed about business conditions and general prospects of the company. He also keeps the employee informed about changes in method of production before they are put in effect. Now here we are talking about change management. This particular point is about how well a change can be accepted if it is informed in advance. Now say in any industry, the processes will always keep on changing as per the requirement of the market or industry. But before any changes are being done in the process or maybe in the technology, it will become very difficult for an employee to accept if he has no prior information about it. But well in advance, if we inform the employees or trade unions about the changes that are going to, or the major changes that are going to happen in the industry, they will readily accept this change without any friction or conflict. Then the employees would put forward their own ideas and suggestions, which would receive due consideration by the employer. Now, here the employer is in a mood to say replace some process by other process. So he has informed the employee. Now the employee had a discussion and now they have some other suggestions. So they may approach an employer and give certain suggestions. So at this time, the employer also has to be receptive regarding, you know, the suggestions and schemes. So this will create a mutual trust and cooperation between them. Problem sharing. Now at times the employer or maybe the employee also have some problems. So now say the problem is being solved on their level individually. Both are not aware about what is going on the other side. Now say management is having a problem, or maybe for a shorter period of time they are facing a problem of cash crunch. Now we take an example. Say for example there was a demonetization. and say it is a salary time. Now management, they don't have that much of cash in hand, or they require some more time to, you know, settle on it. So now if they try to solve this problem at their own end, employee are not aware about it on their level. They are expecting their salaries to be credited on time. But your employer is not able to do so, and employees are getting frustrated. Now they may not be liking it, right? But if we see this scenario in a different way, that now employer is already facing a cash crunch. Now he calls his employee and discusses the same with the employee and asks the employee, how should we overcome this problem? So in this case, the employee will be, you know, not in a defending position, but then he will be receptive, he will be understanding about this problem. He may give some suggestions, and when this suggestion will be implemented, they won't be having any friction. An employer who faces some problems may consult the workers and their union and seek their help in solving them. Joint consultation. Now, joint consultation will be again, taking a decision not only at your end, but then consulting with the other parties. That means employer, if wants to, you know, take a decision, will take consultation or help from the employee representatives. There may be a formal and regular consultation between management and the worker represented by their union. That may be trade union leaders or few among the unions who will represent the other employees on all or some common issues as decided upon beforehand. That means whenever we are forming such joint consultation committees or say joint consultation representatives, the rules will be decided prior that what will be the frequency of meeting and what are the areas of concern wherein the consultation is required. So all this will be actually decided prior. Workers' participation in management. Now, how do we inculcate this culture of workers' participation in management? Not only in decision-making process, but other areas also. So, first what we can do is, goals of labor management cooperation should be discussed. Here, the individual goals and the goals of management, somewhere we can find an integration point. As a means of increasing productivity, the area of the most common mutual interest consists of promoting efficiency and productivity, eliminating waste, reducing cost, and improving the quality of the product. Now here they have discussed some area wherein employee can work on it and increase the productivity, but at the same time, by providing them better facilities, better machineries, tools and equipments, employee can also contribute. So there are some areas always which will be of a common interest for employee and employer as well. So here we need to identify those common areas first. As a means of promoting industrial democracy, workers should have a voice in the administration of the enterprise to which they belong. Now when we talk about workers should have their voice, means they should have that freedom of speech. That means any matter of concern, an employee should have the right to go and put forward their suggestions or grievances. As a means of avoiding conflict and friction, what can be done? A closer association between the workers and management lead gradually to the appreciation of problems of one by the other and the development of an accommodative frame and mind. Now here slowly and steadily we started with small baby steps towards building up a cooperative relationship, and automatically when we have this strong bonding, definitely we will be able to avoid conflicts and frictions. Factors that are necessary for success of LMC, that is Labor Management Council or Committee. Attitudes. Now somewhere it depends on the attitudes of the worker, at the same time attitudes of the organizations or employers, that whether they want a cooperative environment in their industry or not, whether they are ready to let go some of their interest, or whether they are ready to come at a common point or not. Some of them, if we look forward, sincerity, which will indeed create a mutual support, mutual trust, which will come from openness, that is transparency. Then commitment. Then again, when we are committed to our work, when we have sincerity towards our work, we are ready to work in teams. Mutual respect, that means employee respects the sources available with him, and you know, with a very great sincerity he performs his job. At the same time, the employer also respects the efforts put by the labor. Appropriate skills. Now only psychologically handling this concept is not going to work. Somewhere in practical skills, abilities of the employees will affect industrial relation to a greater extent. So here, what other areas we can look into wherein this particular problem can be solved? So leadership and felicitation, that means some of the top management representatives should identify what type of skills and capabilities are required, maybe today and in future, and can plan some programs accordingly. Communication and team building, problem solving and planning. After all this, we have some important factors which are really necessary for the success of LMC. One among them, or I can say very important among them, is suitable structure. That means we design that structure which facilitates, you know, the cooperative environment in an industry or an organization. Addresses identified needs and concerns can be formal, informal or both. That means while you know addressing some issues, grievances or problems, the method that can be applied can be formal, informal or both. Say for example, I have some issue and I can directly you know knock my manager's cabin and can you know address my issue. This is an informal way. Somewhere if I want to do the same in a formal way, I may write an email or a letter and then he may call for a meeting. So that becomes a formal way. And we can implement both, you know, formal and informal depending on the degree of the importance. Assures adequate representation of labor and management. Now when we are talking about cooperation, so here we should have adequate numbers of employees participating in it. At the same time, employer, the member from the employers will always be there because we are talking about management. But when we talk about employees, there should be adequate number of employees from the employees side who will be representatives of all other employees. Ensures attainment of decisions through consensus. That means mutual understanding, mutual agreement. Provides feedback mechanism at all levels of the organization. That means all levels of organization means we have different type of workers, employees working in an organization. They may be blue collar employees who are actually don't have any you know specialized skills. There may be employees with special skills. There may be supervisors. There may be managers as well. So here when we are talking about cooperation, we are expecting people or employee from lower level to the upper level to you know come and contribute. And here when we talk about a feedback mechanism, that means whenever we implement some new technique, we should take feedback not only you know from the managers or supervisors, but here we also invite blue collar employees to come and participate or involve.